feeling so much to need the Lord's merciful and gracious help, I can but venture with a word that you will find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, reading verses 24 and 25. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, reading verses 24 and 25. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Our reading together in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. There we have the record of Jacob blessing his sons. And among the blessings that he was moved, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to speak is the blessing regarding Asher. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. And as I understand it, the inheritance of Asher was such that it was a very fertile part of the land of promise. And if we just think like this for a moment, that in the blessing which Jacob conveyed by the Spirit regarding Asher, and then in this chapter here, we have, as it were again, one of God's servants proclaiming blessings as appointed by God. And in both the chapters, they are indeed the last words of a godly father and a godly leader. And if we are helped to consider it in this light, and there are those of you here this evening who have known what it is to stand around a dying bed, and those of you that have been favoured in this and have known what it is for a godly father or mother or whoever it may have been, and if you've been favoured with them, you will know how much it meant to you. Now here we have this particular blessing that is spoken regarding Asher. And I read these two verses once more. And as I just read them, may we be made aware that this is the Word of God. That this is the Word of God. And that it was spoken by God through his servant Moses. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, I'm sure that perhaps most, if not all of you here this evening may be aware that this poor man who stands before you this evening has desired to be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message to you, dear people here at Jireh. And I can only hope, and that is with my God, I can only hope that the Holy Spirit has given the word, and that the same Holy Spirit will now help me to speak from it. And of course, I have especially in my heart and thoughts your present position here as a people. And we would desire that it might be, as it were, a word from God for you. Only the Lord can make it this. I hope that he will. And I hope that you will feel that this is the word of the Lord. And I do also think of God's servants that are here with us tonight. Because I remember venturing with the same word in Lamberhurst pulpit some good few years ago now, one Lord's Day afternoon. And one has been compelled to venture with it just a few times. But so this evening, my special thoughts are with you here and for you here. And what a word we have before us. Every one of God's servants that are sent by him to preach have a work to do. And every God-sent minister has their own work to do. And that is appointed by God. And I believe we could go a step further and say this, that from their first sermon to the last, In the hands of the Holy Spirit, there will be that direction with them, and as they will seek from God his word again and again, knowing their great and solemn need of this. How often we read, especially in the prophecies in the Old Testament, how that the word of the Lord came to God's servants. It came to them, and it's still the same today. God's servants graciously exercised. They tremble in this great matter, and they need God's word to be given them every time they are to preach. They feel their need of this. They tremble to be left to take God's word on their own, and this they wait before God in and with their need of God given, his word to be given. And this, of course, is also the exercise of living souls. And there are those of you here tonight that have proved this from time to time. When you've been in great need, when you have been burdened before God, and when at times you've been brought very low, and how then you cried unto God, and how many times you had to plead concerning whoever was to be the minister, Lord, may he be thy messenger in thy message, and you felt to need it in your own heart. And there are those of you here tonight that the Lord has favoured in this. I was speaking to a friend only today, who so dearly loved the late Mr. Samuel Curtis, who at one time was the pastor at Hanover Tunbridge Wells. And this particular lady, who is now and has long been a member at Ebenezer Luton, but that lady was knew what it was to be brought up in a convent under the teaching of Rome. And as the Lord brought her out of all this, and in her early days of spiritual exercise, Mr. Samuel Curtis was her pastor. And this is what she said about him this morning to me. She said, he was God's servant to me. He was God's servant to me. He was my pastor. And oh, how many times the Lord used him to speak to my soul. And that, you see, is the important thing. Without this, there's nothing. There's nothing in the ministry, and there's nothing in hearing the word. First of all, then, we come to the this part of the subject, and of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children." I said a few moments ago that every God-sent minister has a work to do. But I do believe that every God-sent minister will be very exercised that the Lord might favour them with one spiritual child, and their burden that the Lord might favour them with spiritual children. It's one of the very solemn aspects of the ministry. And yet, dear friends, the Lord is a sovereign in all this. And I've often thought of the words that are found in that beautiful hymn on the life and death of Samuel Rutherford, and you've heard it before, but it's this: "If but one soul from Anworth meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land." Now this is the exercise of God-sent ministers, that the Lord might favour them with spiritual children. And I do not know how God's servants will feel in this that are here tonight, but I believe that they both will say, "Yes, that's true," and the Lord knows how they feel, and the Lord knows what he's done for them. But let me make this clear, that God is a sovereign in it. To some of his servants, he may favour them, and he does favour them sometimes with more, in that sense, spiritual children, that they are favoured to. I'm also sure of this, that God's servants little know what the Lord has done with their labours. There may well be those that have been quickened into life by the word of God through one minister or another, and the dear man may never hear about it here. But the Lord knows. But what I am saying is this, that it is a very sacred thing to be favoured in the ministry of God's word with spiritual children. And this is the exercise of my soul here this evening for you, dear friends. If one might speak of it in another way, I have long felt that When God brings a minister and people together, pastor and people, that it is by divine appointment, and if the Lord is indeed in it, then he brings it to pass. He is a sovereign in all that that will mean. And yet in this, it is, as I see it, it is like a marriage union. Now, you dear friends here, if one might be allowed to use this expression, you've been in a time of courtship. And you've come to that point. And again, if we might put it in this way, you're now waiting to be married. And this is what is so needed. And I need help to try and put this in simple and gracious words. But in a right way, naturally speaking, there cannot be children born until there is union between husband and wife. I leave that thought because, you see, there's the deep that couches beneath. There cannot be any true spiritual children in any pastorate of pastor and people only as they are brought together in Christ. You see, this is the vital thing. This is where the true union lies. It's in Christ. And the Lord Jesus speaks of himself in this way. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." But you see, if the Lord, and I'm thankful that I know so little, hardly anything really, of the exercises of your souls here as a people, and in that way I'm completely free. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows all that's gone on in this. The Lord knows your hearts. The Lord knows the exercises of your souls. But dear friends, if there is to be, and I hope there will be, but if there is to be yet a time of blessing in this chapel, it can only come as you are really united with your pastor in the living vine, and all that that means. And I'm sure that in the measure that the Lord has granted to you, it must have been so, otherwise you would never have asked him to come here as your pastor if you hadn't known something of what it is to be united to him in the Lord Jesus, and to be united to him in the things of God. What is it that has drawn you together? What is it has made you feel you must ask him to come here in this way? Well, surely, in a right way, it can only be as you are brought together in Christ, and that through his precious word. Now, there cannot be any spiritual children without this. And it doesn't happen at once. It's something that, if the Lord grants it, it is something that grows. And you will enter in all this into times of trial. You will enter into times of testing. It has ever been so. Oh, how many godly men, as they've entered into a pastorate here or there, oh, how often there has been, and there ever will be, the balancing of the clouds. There will be that that will encourage, and there will be that that will discourage. But if these things are sanctified to you, it will make you cry the harder. It will make you feel your need in a much deeper way. And you see, it is in this way that the Lord brings a people and a pastor together. If we think of it in another way for a moment, and you'll all understand this, think of a flock of sheep. If there are no lambs born, the flock will die out. And we're living in a day when the flocks in Jesus' fold have grown lank and few. I do not know how John Berridge would feel today in this matter. He said in his day the flocks in Jesus' fold are growing lank and few, but surely we have to say they have grown lank and few. And to my heart, we're living in the last days. They're perilous times. And I felt much of late thinking of the second coming of Christ, and how near it is, none of us know, but there is so much in the world today that certainly speaks to us of this. And what the Lord's will yet is in Zion, we do not know. But friends, we are on scriptural ground when we are rightly and graciously exercised in these things. You see, there must be exercise. And before there can be a bringing forth of children, naturally, and there are mothers here tonight that well know this, and fathers too, there cannot be a bringing forth of children naturally without pain, travail. And there cannot be a bringing forth of children spiritually, friends, without travail. Now, how does the Lord do this? And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Now, this was Moses, the man of God. You know how exercised he was that God would raise up a man, as he said, let the God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation that will go in before them and out before them, will lead them out and will bring them in, that they be not as sheep which have no shepherd. You see how exercised Moses was. And do you remember when the day came when the divine command was, call Joshua? Call Joshua? I wonder if any of you feel like this about God's servant, that you wait, as it were, now for him to enter into this solemn position? Have you felt like this? Call Joshua? You see how exercised Moses was. and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Well, of course, as I stand here tonight, I feel I can say before my God that I have this exercise for you. Indeed, not only for you here, but I have it in my own life and path, in the solemn position that one holds at Eastbourne. And God's servants that are here, they will know, well know, something of this exercise. Well, how does the Lord grant spiritual children then? Thinking of it in connection with a pastor and people. Well, if I know anything about these things, it can only be as the Lord grants exercise in the souls of his people. I remember Mr. Tyler saying once, and I felt that he was right in this, he was speaking of a cause or any cause of truth, and he said, if there's one mother in Israel there, there's hope. One. There's hope. And I believe there's more than one here. What is a mother in Israel? You see, the Word of God speaks of the Church of Christ in this particular way. It's found in Solomon's Song. What does it say there concerning living souls that have been brought to Christ? Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? And then what does it say? He, if it will only come, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. And that speaks of Christ and his precious word, for thou and thy word are both the same. I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Friends, as I look back, it was 37 years ago this year that I went down into the baptismal pool in this place. And I know this, that there were dear souls that were here then, and some of them are here tonight, but I look back at that time in my own life, and I know this, that there were those in the church here at Jireh that were travailing for me. And there are those of you here tonight, you well know that there were those that travailed for you, and some of them now in glory. They've done with the things here below. They've been gathered home. But there were those, and you see, then in those days at Jireh, and it goes back, of course, some almost 40 years, and some of you longer than that. But friends, how was it that we were brought forth? We were brought forth as the Lord laid our souls in the hearts of whomsoever he would lay them. The Lord laid our souls. He laid them in the hearts of those that he would lay our poor case in their heart. The Lord laid us in the hearts of one or another of his dear people. Now I know that is the case. And there are those of you here tonight that can testify to this, that you may not know, you may know. If you know, you'll understand what I say. You'll know if you had a spiritual father. You'll know if you had a spiritual mother. I've always felt in my own case that dear Mr. Dawson was my spiritual father. And why was he? Because the Lord used him. He was the first minister that God used to speak to my poor soul in Stone Chapel. And oh, how I loved him for this. I went into that chapel without any concern about my never dying soul, and yet the Lord spoke to me that evening, and the word of God reached my heart, and it sent me home crying with the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, do you have a spiritual father? You may not know, but those of you that do. What I mean is this, as you look back and think of whatever servant of God was used in your case to speak to you, and when you were brought to feel that God spoke to you through whomsoever it was, and his word reached your heart, and it was used to bring you into concern about your never-dying soul, Well, the Apostle Paul, he had this to say, did he not? Although ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. And this is the way that children will be born and are born spiritually. And I hope that this will be the case with your pastor as he comes among you, that the Lord will make him a father in Israel in this place. The Lord knows how he feels already. I remember in my own case, in the same year that one went on what is termed probation at Eastbourne, and then one was asked to be their pastor, and we felt that it was from God, and we felt we must accept that invitation. But friends, I can remember a Sunday morning in October 1969 when the Lord laid two dear souls right in my heart. And I've travelled for them ever since, and others too. And God's servants that are here tonight, I believe, will understand what I'm saying, and others too. But then the Lord not only does this, but oh, how often the Lord has used godly women. Godly women in the church of God. And the Lord burdens them. I wonder how many of you, dear ladies that are here tonight, have known and do know what it is. And if you can say and feel before God in this, there are those that you're carrying. You may have been carrying them for years. But are you carrying the soul? Are you carrying souls in your heart? As the Lord, if the Lord has laid them in your heart, you will have to carry them. And you see, friends, if and as, and I'm sure of this, that when the Lord lays the burden of souls in any of his people's hearts, that burden will remain as long as the Lord intends it to, whether those that carry it live to see a fulfillment or not. And not everyone does. But those that do, they will carry that soul or souls in their heart. And as it is naturally, the nearer you get to the time of bringing forth, the heavier will be the burden. And sometimes it is so, I know it is so, that when the Lord will bring forth precious souls in any church, he will lay the weight of those souls heavier than ever. Just to show you what I mean. I so well remember going to our friend Miss Doris Honeysett's one Sunday for meals, and for over 8 years I travelled to and fro in that way and had meals with different friends, but I went to this dear lady's home this particular day, and she started to open her heart to me a little, and immediately I sensed that she was exercised before God, and I trembled and I rejoiced. And I remember telling one of our deacons about this, dear Mr. West, who, poor man, is in the Brighton Bethesda home now, and oh, any of you, if you've seen him, you'll see what he's like now. But I told him how I felt that day, and he looked at me and he said, it needs a little more wrestling. It needs more wrestling. And within a few weeks, the Lord brought that it to pass. And one Sunday evening, as she was going out to the chapel, and she was 70 years old, she said to me that Sunday evening, I shall have to come. Now this is the way that souls are brought forth. And this is the way that the Lord grants spiritual children. Now I know he has granted them here. And there are those of you here tonight that are a witness to it. There are those of us here that were carried. And we were carried when we were completely unaware of it. We didn't know that we were being carried until the Lord made it known. And if you'll pardon me, and some of you will remember this, I believe, but I so well remember that when one was compelled to venture to tell what the Lord had done for our never-dying soul, I found that one and another in the church here at Jireh, they said something like this, we've been waiting for you, we've been praying for you. You see, friends, this is the way. The Lord knows where there's exercise in any of your hearts tonight. And the Lord knows what your pastor to be, if I can put it that way, what he is carrying, and I'm sure he will be. So then the word is, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. I desire it for God's servants that are here tonight, as well as the one whom you've asked to be your pastor. And oh, friends, we still need it at Grove Road. But the way that these things are brought to pass then is this, as the Lord burdens the hearts of his servants and as he burdens the hearts of his people. I have known what it is from time to time in my own little life and path when, oh, the Lord has burdened one and another. And sometimes they've encouraged me. And sometimes the Lord has favoured me to encourage them. You see, these things, they go on. The pastor is used of God to encourage those that are carrying these souls. And those that are carrying them, they will know what it is to encourage their pastor in this sense, that they will encourage him by going on to wrestle for him. And friends, if you will pardon me saying this, there's no need really, but if you'll bear with me in saying this, what you dear people are going to need here at Jireh is, in that measure that the Lord will grant you, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some of us remember dear Mr. Frank Austin preaching in Gower Street Chapel so many years ago from this, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Now there will never be a bringing forth without it. There will never be a bringing forth without it. You see, all this is the work of the Holy Spirit within the hearts of the Lord's people. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. And then the word goes on and it says this, let him be acceptable to his brethren. You have passed through the 3 months in the early part of this year. And I'm sure this word has been fulfilled in that measure that the Lord granted to you. And this is what you were waiting for. This is what you were looking for. You know, dear friends, if the Lord will bring a poor man together with a flock, the Lord will bring them together. And how does he bring them together? He brings them together through his own word. It's his word. There's nothing else. A man may have whatever God-given ability that he has, but that in itself is nothing. The thing that matters is as they are brought together in Christ by the Holy Spirit and know something of the everlasting love of God, and so they become Trinitarians in it. May we then notice how this is worded. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. I hope you'll bear with me again in what I feel I must say in this. It is one thing, and it is a great favour and mercy, the Lord knowing how you felt during that 3 months that God's servant was here with you. But oh friends, there's going to be the need of continuance. And I think of the words of Gamaliel here, that he said, I cannot remember exactly the wording, but this is the substance of it. If this thing be of God, it will stand. But if it be of man, it will come to naught. And that will search you, because you'll know it's true. And it will make you cry the harder. But this is what your pastor is going to need more and more. How can this be? I believe it was Mr. Godwin, and he may have been, if memory serves me rightly, the pastor at God Manchester. And after 20 years as their pastor, the thought was expressed, it often has been, However can a man go on preaching for 20 years or even more as their life may be spared? How can they go on preaching to the same people? Do you know what his answer was? He said, I found a spring. I found a spring. And if the Lord is in this, and I have that hope that he is, but friends, when the Lord is in a union of this kind, this will continue. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. How can men be acceptable to their brethren? Well, only as they are favoured to be God's servants, and the need of this continually. And again, I must tell you this, you must remember that you're not the only one in the chapel. There's great danger, I feel, in this. You must remember that you're not the only one in the chapel. There are others here. And you see, in feeding a flock, God's servants, this is their burden, to feed the flock of God that is among you. And if you, and you are favoured, you have young people here, you have parents here, you have those in the midst of life, and you have those that are older, and your pastor will be exercised to feed you, you see. But do remember that there are others beside yourselves. And you see, this is the case, that you will not always be favoured. Let me just remind you, and the time seems to be gone, but let me just remind you of what Jacob said concerning Asher in that blessing that he pronounced. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Well, if we think of our diet through the course of a year, we do not have what we might term special food, do we? We don't often have what we might term special food. We have days in the year. We all have certain days when the family gets together and something special is arranged, and in that kind of way. But you see, for the most part, we live as we do. We don't always have special food, do we? And it's just like that in the ministry of God's word. These royal dainties are comparatively rare in the experience of a child of God. How many times, friends, have you had special times of hearing? How many times have I had special times of hearing? They've been comparatively few. I remember speaking to dear Mr. Stanley Dells about this once, when I told him how the Lord had used him to preach his word right into my heart here one Sunday morning, and the word was, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And friends, if ever I was received a blessing, I did that day. I'd never felt it the same before or since, but I felt that day that the blood of the Lord Jesus was indeed, it was true of this poor sinner, and when I see the blood I will pass over you. When I told him about it, and it was by then he'd been preaching over 50 years and he'd almost come to the end of his life, and he said this, he said, Seth, he said, I've only been to Calvary 3 times in my life. So do not expect special blessings every Lord's Day. And those of you that understand this, you won't expect them. But you'll be thankful for a crumb, because really a crumb from the Master's table is a feast. And special times of divine favour are God, they are appointed. And usually these things come when we've been brought down into the depths, in the fire, in the deep waters. It's in such things, I believe, that the Lord's people receive their greatest blessings. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren. Your pastor to be, and as he is, will need to be endued with power from on high. And only the Lord can grant this. But it is to be prayed for. Friends, the more you are helped to pray for him, I mean in secret, as well as in your public prayer meeting, but especially in secret, the more you're favoured to pray for him in secret, I believe the more the Lord will bless you. And let him dip his foot in oil. Well, this speaks of the very life of the ministry as he receives it directly from his Saviour, as he receives it from the Lord himself. Well, I must close. But in all this, there's a promise, and you're going to need it. Friend, you're going to need the promise. Your pastor is, and you are as a people. But there is a promise with this. And what is it? Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen.
We'll conclude this service by singing hymn number 332 to the tune Wavertone. Now let the feeble all be strong, and make Jehovah's arm their song. His shield is spread o'er every saint, and thus supported, who shall faint? 332.